Hi, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back Monday morning to Sefer Shoftim. We haven't learned Sefer Shoftim in quite some time. It was Shavuos. Before Shavuos, we did a little bit about Shavuos. Last week, something else was going on. And Baruch Hashem, this morning, I have my daughter's sitter play. Baruch Hashem, but I did not want to miss another week. So we are recording this one the night before, and if you have any comments or questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. We are find ourselves in the middle of Perek Vav, the sixth chapter of Sefer Shoftim, and we meet here a brand new Shofet. We meet Gidon. Gidon, we are going to learn, is a little bit different than all of the other Shoftim we learned up until now. We've learned about Otniel, about Ehud, about Devorah and Barak. And they all were pretty similar in that there was a tzara, there was an oppressor that came, subjugated Klal Yisrael for X amount of years. And then there was a Moshiach Shel Yisrael. Things went really great. There weren't so many details. It wasn't super detailed, uber detailed. And there was a tzara and things were good. The Jewish people did tshuva. This shofet or shofetas save them, help them. And then it was quiet in Israel for quite some time. Rabbi Chaim Angel, who is a professor at Yeshiva University, a great author. If you have any of his books, if you don't have them, you should buy them all on Tanakh, are really, really excellent. He has an essay in one of his books describing the role of Gidon, which I found very, very fascinating. And we'll go back to some of it later on in the life of Gidon. Gidon is really the middle of all the Shoftim in that he has elements of the first half of the Shoftim and elements of the second half of the book of the Shoftim. What do I mean by that? The first group of the Shoftim are very positive characters. They exude this fidelity to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people almost respond very quickly in kind. And once they come on the scene, things are almost, hunky-dory. They're good. With not just rose-colored glasses, but everything is literally rose-colored. It's really, really great. Post-Gidon, things are murkier. The leaders are murkier. Where they come from, what exactly they do, it's not so clear. That's like Shimon and Yiftach and others. And also the Jewish people as well are not responding in such an overt, positive way either. It's a more complicated relationship, both to the Shofet and both to HaKadosh Baruch Hu afterwards. Gidon, on one hand, is a great leader, leads the Jewish people to do very good things. But he has some elements of this. There's a little bit of an edge to Gidon. On one hand, he's extremely humble, like we've seen. He doesn't even, not trust isn't the good word, but he doesn't even believe that he is somebody that is worthy to get a nevuah, or he's even worthy to become and be chosen as the next leader. Very similar to like David HaMelech in that way. But we will see that there's a little bit of an edge, like he's challenging people, got to stand up for my people, for the Jewish people. But also he does things which are a little bit questionable. And additionally, post Gidon's life, the people, the Shoftim that take over after him are his two sons, Yotam and Avimelech, which Rabbi Angel argues, each one takes on different traits of their father. One takes on the very positive, aka Shoftim part one traits. And the second child takes on Shoftim part two traits. And he's a little bit of a more questionable Shofet in many ways. So he sees Gidon as somebody that's really finds himself in the middle of all of this. We know more about Gidon than we know about most of the Shoftim in the Sefer. Again, they're very famous, they're popular, but we don't know a lot about them. A lot of it is Midrash Chazal. Here, Gidon, there's a rich narrative about Gidon. So we were learning that Gideon, a Malach appear, the Jewish people were being subjugated by Midian. Midian is the oppressor at this present moment. Gideon is chosen. Gideon is living in Ophrah. Ophrah is a city. My Sarah's uncle lives in Ophrah today. Baruch Hashem, it's a great city. A lot of Jewish people live there. Others, I think, have Fairlawn roots, live there as well. And his father is a man named Yoash. They are out there threshing, and we pointed out why they're threshing, and they have to be hiding because the Midianim would burn the fields. And if you are threshing and people had no food, people were starving, they're hungry. And Amalek comes to Gideon and says, you're going to be the person that's going to lead the Jewish people and help them and be their savior. And he is like, no. Number one, where were you earlier? If someone's going to save the Jewish people, you should have done it already. Where were you? And number two, I am not worthy of this. So what Gideon does is that he asks the Malach, if this is really you, I want a sign. He says here in Pasuk Gidzayin, Vayomer Elav Hashem, sorry, Vayomer Elav Inam Asatichim Beinecha, Vasisa Li Os Shata Medaber Imi. If this is really Hashem talking to me, I would like a sign from Hashem that this is happening. So what does it mean that he wants a sign from Hashem? Does he not trust this? So that's the way many Mefarshim believe. He is very humble. He didn't believe that he had the capability, the leadership ability, that he was worthy of being a leader to help the Jewish people. Rav Sadia Gaon says is a little bit sharper and maybe even in a more humanistic type of way. Rav Sadia Gaon points out here is that it wasn't necessarily a lack of faith in God, in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, but he was afraid that the Yetzer Hara was playing a trick on him, right? Some people's Yetzer Hara is in kavod, is in honor, where they think that people love them so much and want to give them so much kavod and so much honor. And they convince themselves that not only do they deserve it, but that's what people are telling them they want, right? There's many politicians, I'm sure that we know, that they're convinced that everyone thinks they are awesome, they're amazing. So they continue to do more and continue to try to lead and attempt to do things when really that's not the message. So where Sadia writes here is that Gideon was so humble that he thought it was his Yetzer Hara tricking him and convincing him that he needed this kavod to be the next leader. So he says, if this is really you, right, I need more of a sign. Because, and again, you can look at this in a very humble way. Moshe, we read just this past week, is Vayish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Adam Asher Paneh Adama. The Moshe was the most humble person from everybody on the earth. And so that is something very important for a leader to have, the notion of humility. On the other hand, everybody agrees that by Moshe Rabbeinu, right, he knew who he was. So again, Moshe is very similar to Gideon in that they both denied and said, we don't want to be the leader. Take somebody else instead. That's very clear in both of these stories. I just saw a very nice understanding. Our youth director, Toby Grosser, shared with me a very nice pshat. And what does it mean Moshe was the most humble? What do you mean Moshe was humble? He spoke face to face. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, what does it mean he's the most humble? So this is a very nice idea. He says that Moshe said, oh, yeah, I know what I'm achieving. I see it, right? I understand. I wrote the Torah. I'm educating the Jewish people. But if somebody else had my neshama, they would be 10 times greater than me. That was the Anivas of Moshe. I'm here, but if I'm here, like really high, but if somebody else had my abilities, they would be even greater. That's the Anivas. That's Anivas. We can understand that. You hear that from Gedolim sometimes. That's the way they feel. Yeah, these are the Kalim that Hashem gave me. That's what I'm blessed to have. And thank God with that, I'm able to help people, able to educate more people, bring more people back to Torah. But if somebody else had my kishronos, my skills, they would be even greater. That's the Anivas. So However it is, what happens next? So it continues on in the Navi. What does he ask for? Al natamush mizeh. He says to him, don't leave me until I return to you. Meaning, I'm going to get something. You stay here. I'll be right back. I'm going to bring forth a mincha, a present, a gift for you. So the Malach says, Anochi eshev ad shuvacha. I will stay here. V'gidon ba. Right here, we get on Bab, Yas Gedi Izim, we fast Kemach Matzos, Abasar Shamal Sal, Arach Shamba Farur, Yotze Love, El Tachas Ha'Allah, Ha'ilava Yigash. So Gideon went and prepared a goat and some bread and flour, and he's making a korban. And he put all of this together, mixed it together, and he presented it to the Malach. Over here. So we pointed out that Gideon was making matzah as part of this dish. Why matzah? Because it was Pesach at this time. That's why he brought matzah. But he was bringing this and he wanted, then he was not allowed at this point in Jewish history, we cannot bring our own korbanos. Why? Because the Mishkan was in Shiloh. And once the Mishkan was in Shiloh, you were not allowed to bring personal korbanos on your bama. So he couldn't bring it as a korban. But he says, if you are God, if you are representing Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're the Malach, then that can happen. You can do that. So he says to the Malach, you know, he says, you take this. And I'm sorry, the Malach says to him, take the matzos and take the matzos and the basar. So the angel says to him, take the meat and the matzos, put them on this rock, and spill out the soup that you made alongside it. Why spill out the soup? Because if a fire is going to come and consume this, if the soup is out, it's liquidy. That you want to show how big of a miracle this is. And the Mefarshim connect this to the story of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel in Malachim had a challenge against the Nevi'e HaBaal. And there, Nevi'e HaBaal, part of the challenge was is that there are two animals, identical animals. The false prophets, they choose one animal. He chooses a different animal. Their one was not consumed by a heavenly fire. His was. But when his was, what he did was, first he poured water all around and all over the korban, and nonetheless, the korban was consumed by the fire to show the veracity of his claims and that this was a huge miracle. So right now, what happens? Take all this and put the broth over it. Good. And now he says, Pasuk Kafalaf. Malach Hashem etz kitzei hamish'enetz asher biyado. The Malach then stretched out the edge of the staff that was in his hands and touched the matzos and the meat. Vayigav b'basar matzos v'tal ha'esh min atzor. And then what happens immediately? An esh, a fire comes out from the rock. V'toch ha'zabasar z'matzos v'malach Hashem halach me'inav. And at that moment, everything is consumed. The malach leaves stage, right? He leaves, disappears. So the malach touches the things. And then he leaves and he never sees him again. Vayar Gideon ki malach Hashem. Vayar, he saw. He didn't really see. So sometimes the word see doesn't really mean see. Here, vayar means he understood. So sometimes in the Torah says vayar, it's deeper. Vayar doesn't mean just physically to see. It means that the person that is seeing also understood. Here, Gideon understood ki malach Hashem, who this was a malach Hashem that he encountered. Vayomer Gideon, aha, aha, right? Like, aha. Hashem Elokim, ki alkein, ra'isi malach Hashem panim apanim. Oh, wow, right? And he says, look what happened. I experienced a malach Elokim panim el panim. right, we see a further connection and parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu saw God panim al panim. He didn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw Malach, but nonetheless, it's the same language. Vayomer lo Hashem. And now, Vayomer lo Hashem. He says, Hashem says to him, Vayomer lo Hashem, shalom lacha, al tira lo tamas. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him, b'derech nevua. Hashem himself comes to him and says, Hashem, shalom lacha, al tira lo tamas. Don't be afraid. You're not going to die. Right? Don't be afraid. You're not going to die. The Radak points out that clearly at this moment, he was afraid. It was clear he never experienced this before. To experience Nevuah is not something that is so, it's scary. It's a serious experience. It's literally an out-of-body experience. And you shake, maybe convulse. You're in a dream sort of trance state. And it's not, it causes one to be afraid. So he was afraid. Hashem says, don't be afraid. And at this place, Gidon, as a result, builds a Mizbeach to Hashem in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here, addressing what we just mentioned, he doesn't build a Mizbeach literally here. He doesn't mean a Mizbeach, an altar where he's going to bring sacrifices, because that was prohibited. That he can't do. He made this as a tribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similar to Mizbachot or Matzevot that Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov did, not that they brought korbanos on them always, but it was a tribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different places. Vayikra lo Hashem, shalom ad hayom hazeh. And this Mizbeach is called Hashem Shalom ad hayom hazeh. Hashem is peace. Udenu v'ofras aviha Ezri. And until this day, this Mizbeach is there in Ofra. Now, the Gemara learns out from here something very important. The Gemara learns out from here that one of the names for God is Shalom. That's one of God's names, as opposed to Emes. Emes, the Gemara makes a comparison. Emes is God's signature, but it's not a name of God, as opposed to peace. Shalom is a name of God. Since Shalom is a name of God, one, the poskim say, one should be careful when one is in the bathroom to not say Shalom Aleichem. Right? We greet people sometimes. Maybe we just say hello in English. Good. We probably shouldn't talk in the bathroom to begin with. Maybe by the washing station, you know, in the bigger stalls, that might be okay. But to say the words Shalom Aleichem or Shabbat, Shalom, in a restroom or in a place that is dirty would not be appropriate. Would not be appropriate because you are saying Hashem's name. That is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. Therefore, it would be inappropriate in that place to say this. And the Malbim adds over here one extra point. Simply, it's called Hashem Shalom because Hashem should bring peace to everybody. So he says, the Malbim says another point here. What Gidon realizes now is that if he's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, he's going to have to get the Jewish people to shape up. One of the things and one of the ways in which they were faltering was in their worship of idols, of Avodah Zarah. So how would he need, what would he need to do? He would need to presumably destroy their idols. And however, Ofra was a place back then where many people were worshiping idols. And he would have to destroy their places of worship, their altars, etc. And he was davening to Hashem right now. Hashem, when this happens, when I'm starting up with my neighbors who I get along with really well, ensure that it's peaceful, that they're going to accept the Tochacha. You're going to accept now ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they're going to follow Torah mitzvos. Otherwise, I'm in a lot of trouble. So Hashem Shalom is not just Hashem, you're going to be priest unto the Jewish people versus the Midianim, but Hashem, if I'm going to be in, I need your help. I need your backup over here. I need you. And so that's the deeper pshat in terms of what that means, Hashem Shalom. That's a very, very nice Malbim. So what happens? Vahi b'laylahu. So now you're going to see. Vahi. So Hashem says to him, Vayomer lo Hashem. That night, he's sleeping. Hashem comes to him in a dream. And he says, Kach es par hashor asher lavicha. Take a young bull that belongs to your father, upar sheni shev shanim, and take a seven-year-old bull. Laharasta es mizbach babal asher lavicha. Your father is an idol worshiper, which he obviously knew. I want you to take these two animals, right, and destroy the mizbeach that your father has. Ves hashera asher alav tichros, and an asherah tree is a tree that was used to worship. They worship the tree as part of idol worship as well. That tree, we need that tree to be destroyed as well. So why a seven-year-old bull? A seven-year-old bull, because the bull was fattened for 7 years. So it can be a chush of a bull to worship with a lot of meat on it to the idols. So that's why you're going to do it. But what you're going to do is that you're going to bring the animals on that altar first. So the Gemara in Temur tells us that by asking Gidon to bring these idols, these animals on a Avodah Zarah altar and then destroy it. So Hashem was asking Gidon to violate eight different Averas. But if the Nevuah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's permitted. So one was that he was bringing a korban outside the Mishkan. Number two, he brought a korban at night. We only bring korbanos during the day. Number three, Gidon was not a Kohen. Number four, there was no kli sharis. There was nothing, no special sanctified vessels. Number five, he was using vessels that were used for Asherah. Number six, he was using Ate Asherah. Seven, he was using a Bama. And eight, he was using animals that were set aside for Avodah Zarah. So he was allowed to do it in this place. And then what happens? Hashem says, after you destroy this, uvanisa mizbach l'Hashem lokecha, aroshama uzazeh. I want you on this place, I want you to build a kosher mizbach to a kadosh baruch hu. V'chach that's a parasheni, bring the second par, the second animal. Alisa ola batzei asherah. Right? Bring the ola, bring this as an ola, it's all going to get consumed by kadosh baruch hu, by me. Atzei asherah with the asherah wood. Right? Use that wood and burn that wood. Asherah tichros that you're going to cut down. Gidon took 10 of it. He couldn't do this on his own because it's too much work. It would take too much time. So Gidon takes 10 men that are there. He asks Asher Diber Lav Hashem. He does what Hashem asks him to. Vayik Asher Yare is based of it. Asher Masos Yomam. Vayas Laila. So he was afraid to do it during the day because if he did it during the day, people are going to see. So he did this at night. Hidafka did this at night. When people wouldn't see. Sorry. Vayishkimu Anshei Ha'ir Babilker. The people came up in the morning. They woke up in the morning. Vehine Nutatz Mizbach HaBa'al. Oh boy. They saw the Mizbach was destroyed. Vashera Asher Lav Koresa. And the Ashera tree was completely chopped down. As Parashini Ahaula Mizbach HaBanui. And they saw the second cow was on the new Mizbeach that was there, that wasn't there before. So, whoa. The Malbim points out over here, there's two different words for destruction that are used in the Torah. There's Harisa and there's Netitza. Horeis Yifarek HaBinyan. I know it's a Shover Kol Evan L'Shvar. Horeis means you just, you break them, you chop it down. It's made of a lot of different pieces of stone. So you knock the stones all down. Good. Netitza means you crush up every single stone. Uba MS says, Malbim here, lo natatz rach haras. Really, he didn't chop up every single stone of the pizzas. He really just knock down all the stones. But they understood, Rakim Shalo Yadu of Shabanim, Mizbeach Min Avanim, Ha'ilo Chash V'Shnat, they thought that he destroyed it so badly. Vayomer Isham Re'ehu, and they said, Mi Asa, right? All the people woke up in the morning and said, who did this? Which crazy guy did this? Vayomer Gidon Ben Yawash Asa Adam Razan, they said, after presumably some investigation, Gidon. It was Gidon that did this. Vayomer Anshe Eru Yawash Hotse is Bincha Vayamos. Kinatatis Bachabal, Icharasa Ashera Sharlov. They went to Yawash and they said, guess what? Your son, right? This is more than just coming back from Israel for a year, right? Or Shana even Shana Bet, Shana Gimel. Your son, we're gonna bring him out, and he deserves to die. Bring it out here. Vayomer Yawash the Chol Asher Amdu Alav. Right? So now Yawash, what is he gonna even defend his son? What's he going to do? Atem teriv mabal imatem toshiyin or so. She yiriv lo yumas ad boker imalukim hu yarev lo kinatas es mizbacho. Yoash said against all of the people. He said the following. Yoash said the following. Yoash said to them, that will you take up the grievance of Baal? Will you save him? Whoever grieves him should die by the morning. If Baal is a god, it will take what's due against him for breaking its altar. So Yoash is being a little bit like Avram Avinu. And he's saying, why should we be the ones to stand up for Baal, for this idol, for this Avodah Zarah? Why should we do that? Shouldn't the Baal do that on its own? Like, if we worship him and he is so powerful, then he should do it on his own. We don't need to do that on our own. So that was a very creative way for Yoash to help out his son. Vayikra lo bayomahu yiru Baal. They called, now he had a nickname. Gidon himself attained a nickname. What was the nickname? Yerubal. Why? What does Yerubal mean? Yarev bo habaal kinatas es mizbacho. Let Baal fight with him because he destroyed him. So whenever they saw him, should we kill you? We're so angry at you. No. Yarev Baal. Let Baal take it up with him. Instead of us, why should we fight our God, so to speak, battle? It should be on him. Very similar to what Avraham claimed to his father. So now we go back to the broader story. Midian and Amalek, whenever Amalek hears about someone trying to attack the Jews, they get involved. Midian, Amalek, and the Kedem, they come up and they join forces and they encamp in Emek Yisrael and they are getting ready to fight and fight a war against Klal Yisrael. Ruach Hashem, Lavsha es Gedon, Yiska Bashofar, Yizak, Avi Ezer Acharav. So Gedon has a Ruach Hashem overcome him. We're going to see a similar language with Shimshon too, where he has the ability now, we're going to see, because Gidon's coming from the people, he was threshing wheat just like everybody else. People, and he's very humble. People really feel really connected to him. They feel a deep connection to him. And they feel like he really gets them. And because of that, he could be a really great leader. Not a top-down leader, but like a side-to-side leader. Where really people are going to fight for him. Not for him, obviously, Kadosh Baruch Hu, but they're going to fight for him because they really believe in him as a leader. So Bezrat Hashem, next week, we will see this first war of Gidon really finish up Perek Vav, and we will continue on Bezrat Hashem after that to Perek Zayin. And again, we're going to see about over, you know, three prakim really of Gidon, start to finish, about Gidon's life and the wars that he led and the leadership. And I think there's a lot to learn about Gidon's life in terms of his leadership and really his personality and how different and unique he was vis-a-vis all the other shoftim. Wish everybody a great week. And Bezrat Hashem. See everybody Thursday, live and in person. Kol Tov.